Now this, I was thinking about this, how wide this needs to go, because like Adrian said a few weeks ago, this could go beyond OCF and these walls and beyond Churches Together and the rest of it, because it's all about connecting with each other. But I believe that this talk really at the moment is for us as the church, as OCF, because I've got the feeling that God's speaking to other churches with the same direction as this. And I believe that if we get this right, there'll be such a ripple effect from other churches around us that others will pick it up as they hear and see this in action. So this is really for us as a church, I think, this talk as we go forward. Is that all right? Question for you. When was the first church? When was the first church? I've been thinking about this, because obviously Acts 2:42 obviously springs to mind, doesn't it? I believe the first church was the Trinity. I truly believe the church was the Trinity. Because what the Trinity does, it demonstrates a belonging to each other. Different parts of the body, but all were equal. And the word that describes this so well is the word synergy. Now, this word synergy came from Dave Smith some while ago, and he wanted to use this as a headline or an oversee of all the small groups. But actually, I believe this word synergy is for the church, not just house group. And it comes from the Greek word synergos. And that word means to be connected. It means working together. It means a belonging between two or more parties. It means cooperating to create something greater than one sum of doing it alone. It's when people come together as equals, authentically committed to each other's growth, and to create a united force so that everybody can reach their true potential. So when was the first earthly church? Is that Acts 2:42? When they devoted themselves to prayer and fellowship with each other? Maybe. I believe it started here. Start with Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28. And it says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea, and over the birds, and over the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over every little thing that moves on the earth." And it continues in chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, when it says, "Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted the Garden of Eden in the east. And there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made him spring up in every tree that was pleasant in sight, for good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of the good and evil." See, I believe the first earthly church was the Garden of Eden itself. Because the Garden of Eden, to me, it sets out what God wanted his church to look like. Where God and man worked together to manage his creation. Connected with each other in partnership and in harmony. And that was God's heart for his church. Where mankind could reach its true potential that he created them to be. You see, we are created to belong. We are created to connect with our Creator and with each other. It's a fundamental part of our human existence. Even for us introverts who can't get out of this door fast enough, we still need each other. We importantly more, we need God first. You know, I was away for 2 weeks. I was invited to speak at Kirby Church, where I go quite often, on the first Sunday. And then the Sunday after, I was doing the service at the Bickerstaff Church, which used to be our local church before we moved out. But it's weird, because those two Sundays were fine, no problem. But boy, did I miss you guys. It's a weird feeling when you haven't been here for a couple of weeks. You feel almost a disconnect with your church family. It is so important that we come to church on a Sunday if you can. Because that's where we connect with each other. Amen. That's where, when we come out to pray like this, we connect with each other. That's why, when we worship together as one voice, we connect with each other. That is why, when we take communion, as we're going to do this morning, we connect with each other and with God. Amen. Boy, do I miss this church when I'm not here. And it's important that we make it if we can. You know, in Genesis 3, sin begins to get into God's creation. We see God through the garden, and he's walking through it, trying to find Adam and Eve. And what does he do? He cries out, "Where are you? Where are you?" You see, now sin has suddenly got into the world. Suddenly, there's now a disconnect. Adam and Eve now have to leave that garden. This is a holy place without sin. And they have to be out. And ever since that moment, God's church has lost its way, its purpose, and its meaning. But from now on, from Genesis 3:2 to the end of Revelation, there's one message that runs all the way through this Bible. And that's a message of a love story of hope and restoration between his bride and his groom. Back to where we should be, back to that holy place once more. To restore back that perfect church where Jesus is the center of it all, where every believer belongs. And connects us with that common goal, where Christ is revealed to each other, not through our actions and through our words. Where that church is a place of fellowship, a place of synergy, where we're all different, but we're all equal. But this is not some future event. God is not just calling us to sit around and wait. We're called to display God's church here and now today. And as we get connected to the synergy of the Trinity, good that one, isn't it? The synergy of the Trinity, where through Jesus we now belong. Where disconnect brings disunity, discord, division, and darkness, we're called into fellowship with God and each other to connect, to bring unity, cooperation, belonging, and light. In John 1:7 it says, "If we walk in the light as God is the light, we have fellowship with one another." And that means, in other words, if we walk in the light, not only do we have fellowship with ourselves, but with the Trinity too. See, the first thing God ever spoke into the world was, "Let there be light." And you know, between the Old and the New Testament, there's about 400 years of silence, where there's no prophet saying anything, nobody was sent with a word. God seemed to be silent at that point. It must have been a very dark place for mankind at that point. But God was preparing a new light, and his name is Jesus. And I wonder, when the Father sent his Son down to earth, he repeated what he did right at the very beginning. Let there be light. And Jesus could only be that light because he knew where he belonged and he had a great connection with his Father. Now, I went for a prayer walk some time ago now, I think it was. And rather than Mike turning left to the churchyard, which is totally weird to me, I turned left and actually started heading towards Liverpool, which is probably just as weird to some people as well, I guess. But as you walk down, come out of our farm that used to be, it's weird. It's weird talking like this. You go down towards Liverpool, it's all the streetlights disappear and you're in complete darkness. But right at the very bottom of the road, there's one light, and street light, and it just lights up the corner as it goes round. And I said to God, I said, that's a great light. It's just doing what it needs to do. And he says, that's not me, that's you, Mark. You need to be that light. The thing is, it was all right doing that corner, but that's all it was doing. Until I worked further down the road, and there was Liverpool skyline in the dark. And there was every light of colour and shade you can think of, you could see. And he said, this is the church. All different, but all equal. All doing the same thing. Some were bright lights, some were red lights, some were green lights, some were dim lights. You can take that comment as you wish. But all had an important part to play. And it reminded me of when Jesus, the city on the hill. Don't hide it under a bushel, but let it shine. Now, last couple of weeks, I went to the Etihad Stadium, Man City. Yeah, I get a couple of free tickets every now and again from the lady in the yard. She's a physician. People who does muscles. Anyway, Scott and I, son-in-law, went to watch Newcastle get absolutely slaughtered in the Carabao Cup. But they do say suffering creates persistence, and persistence creates character. Well, that's a Newcastle United supporter for you. I was going to say Everton, but, you know, but Mike's not here. But I was only telling you this because I didn't realise it at the time, but we parked away about a 15-minute walk from the actual stadium and we lost our bearings. And again, it was dark. But boy, could you see the Etihad Stadium shine above everything else. We were like two wise men going towards the light, following the star. And there must have been 500 lights. But you couldn't help but be drawn to it. That's what got me. You couldn't help but be drawn to the lights that were shining there. There were so many of them, it lit up the sky. Darkness had no over it, you know, it had disappeared. We're vital. We are like that city. Dare I say we're like the Etihad Stadium, but we'll say Anfield for now, shall we? I know it's a bit sludge. We have every light there was vital to light up. See, even the darkest sky couldn't overcome the lights that were shining in unity. But to be that light we're called to be, we need to be plugged in and connected to the energy source itself. It demands a vertical upward connection to God to channel a horizontal spread of that light in connection with everybody else. It's a vertical connection that abides and roots it in the vine. So it's to bear fruit and bring that Trinity into life. Bringing the light of God's glory to shine on his creation. And it's a horizontal connection that abides in the root also in that vine. So it's to bear fruit, bringing belonging with each other. That evidential love for all. And I mean all. Not those people we just agree with, but Newcastle United supporters too. Serving together, a true love that loves differences. A devotion to others and God. So the light of God's glory shines in us and then through us. You know, years ago I opened a fishing pond on the farm. And I remember this. And he was one of the first guys who came along to fish. And we got talking and what have you. And he came two or three times and we got talking. He says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I'd never mentioned the word Jesus in any of the conversations. He just says, "You are a Christian." Never uttered a word. Just who I am and what I did, I believe God's light shone through me and to him. Now, of course, over the years, he's gone somewhere else, never really had a chance to talk about Jesus to him. But maybe I was the first seed to be planted in his life. And who knows, now he may just be a Christian. The way you act, the way you talk, the way you are with people shines whatever you shine. And if we're shining darkness because we're not behaving ourselves, they will see darkness. If you shine the light of Jesus, they will see it. And you don't actually have to utter a word to some people before they notice. 1 John 2:10 says this: "Whoever loves his brother," and if you want to really know what a brother meant, ask Tom, because he explained it on his last sermon. "They abide in the light. In him there is no cause for stumbling." You see, the only weapon the enemy has against us is to bring disconnect, to bring isolation with people, that sense of not actually belonging to anything. Because he wants us to feel our guilt and our shame somehow brings us disconnect with God. And that is absolute drivel. It is nonsense. Why does he do that? Why does he manipulate these lies to us? Because boy, does he fear us when we truly connect with God. In Matthew 5, Jesus declares, "We are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven." Does Jesus not declare over us, "Greater things you shall do in my name"? That's what he's asking this morning. We've lifted him higher and higher and higher, and yes, we should give him all the glory. But he wants to feed that back into us, so greater things we shall do in his name. See, true connection brings giving life energy. It brings belonging. It brings spiritual growth. Being true connection brings authentic love that's seen, heard, and is valued. It brings nurturing through service and commitment and devotion to each other and God. And here's the thing, and a yearning to see everybody reach their true potential. Amen. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron." And when we were in the teaching team meeting last week, I got a picture of a strand of string, and God was entwining it with everybody else. And Ecclesiastically 4:13 says this: "When we're like a threefold cord that's never broken." We're called to shift from being a thermometer that reacts to culture to a thermostat that sets the atmosphere. When we do this and connect to the power source, the Trinity, the enemy shakes in its boots. Working together, devoting ourselves to each other, brings light to the world. That creates that synergy of the Trinity that we are now invited to belong to. So when God calls out, "Where are you?" we reply like Isaiah does and says, "Here I am." Just think for a minute what a privilege that is. To be invited into a community and a group of such great power and love. A community that we have no right to belong to. You know, if we were in any other group or community that rebelled against, done our own thing, rejected authority of the head of that group, we would have been thrown out and expelled. We'd have no longer belong. Our membership would be revoked and we'd invite never to return. Praise God that doesn't happen with him. Despite all we've done and continue to do, he simply says to us all, come. Come in. Come into my church, because this is where you belong. The curtain's been torn in two. You and me are welcome into that Trinity. We are welcome into his church as he rent it at the beginning. Where in God's eyes, all are created differently, but we are all equal. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are invited back into that holy place once more, where we truly belong, in that Garden of Eden again. This is the direct connection between the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you and me. Called to play our part in the hope and restoration as the bride and groom here and now, building his planned church for all people to be a part of. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you that your heart is to connect with your people. Even when they don't believe in you, your heart is still to connect with your people. And I thank you that you have chosen us to show that connection to others. May your horizontal love come down into us so we can love others horizontally. Empower us, Lord, for those people who we don't really get on with or don't see eye to eye with, who will wind us up sometimes. But Lord, they are your people. You created them. And we want to be a church that just says to people, come. You are welcome as you are. So Lord, do us good. Empower us. And let us shine Jesus through us so people see the love of God. Amen.